Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thank you, Jerry. Dave Lee here. Let's go to the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline on this busy morning. Once again, bring in our friend Dr. David Hilden, Hennepin Healthcare. You hear David Sunday mornings here on WCCO. He's been nice enough to take a couple days every morning during this crisis to join us. Dave, I appreciate that this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. Like I always say, Dave, it's always a blessing to wake up and feel good and feel healthy.
How you doing staff-wise over there? Everybody in the staff hanging in there pretty well? How's it going?
The staff at the hospital and our clinic system is doing well. But, you know, there's an anxiety level that gets more palpable with each day. So that's sort of it's sort of like a group that's waiting for the invasion. We have some patients and some staff who have tested positive for the coronavirus. And every time that happens, it makes the staff a little bit more on edge. Ironically, hospital systems have a different problem as well, in that some of their staff members who are in clinics in areas that have been canceled, those staff members are finding that they don't have enough work to do, while other staff members in the emergency department in the hospital are working at the very top of their productive capability. So it's sort of a little bit of a paradox in hospitals right now.
Any updates on testing at all?
Yeah, our ability to test and turn around the results is better. In fact, in our own hospital, we're able to get results now a couple times a day, as opposed to waiting for days and days and days. So the rapidity of the test is better. But there is a really big looming problem on the testing. Even though we have the equipment, we have the ability to test in our own hospital, what we don't have is enough supplies. We get a daily report on the supplies, and we're not going to have enough supplies for the test equipment. So it sort of makes it moot whether or not you have the equipment and the capability, which we do. If we don't have the supplies, we can't test anyway. So what we have done is that we are still testing mostly higher-risk people. That would be people who have been exposed to somebody, people with symptoms, healthcare workers, people who are exposed to people in nursing homes, those kind of folks. We still don't have the capability to test the general population, and that's for the simple reason we don't have test supplies. That's one of the things we're really going to the governor's office with, Governor Walz's office. We call almost every day. I think every day we call, and we have a conference call about our needs, and testing supplies are among the top needs now. We can order them. We have ordered them, but we are competing with the rest of the states and the rest of the country for test supplies, and so far we're a bit worried about that, and we're hopeful that at the national level our governmental officials can help us out, but so far that hasn't happened.
Are there particular supplies that are more needed than others, Doctor?
I'm not sure from our lab what they're most concerned about now, but it ranges from things like reagents or the chemicals that you need to use. Those don't come with the kit. So when you get a testing kit, you don't get the chemicals. You have to have that too. In the past, we've been worried about the swabs, for lack of a better word, it's like a Q-tip. But it's not a Q-tip. It's a medical swab that is used exactly for this. We were running low on those in the past. I don't know which of those things are the lowest right now, but it's kind of all of the above. There's some other things we're running low on, just the wipes, the things to sanitize hospital surfaces. These are not just like the washcloths you might all be using at home. These are medical grade sanitizing wipes. Those have been in some short supply. And so it's a variety of what we're going to run out of at any given time. So our supply chain people, these are real professionals. They're searching the marketplace around the world to find supplies.
Steve, in the news today, had a story from the University of Minnesota. Chad had one of the researchers on yesterday afternoon that was talking about they're trying to come up with a way with people, if they can test people who have already had the virus, then they seem to be thinking that perhaps those people could be out in the public helping more. Any reaction to that? Have you heard anything about that?
I know that they're working on that at both the university. I think they might be doing research on that at Mayo and at academic medical centers around the country. That is a good thing if that would be the case. Because you can imagine, if you could just test a lot of people, not just the symptomatic ones, but just a big swath of the population, and you could find out who had antibodies circulating in their bloodstream. The presence of antibodies in your bloodstream would mean that you've been exposed in the past and you recovered. Maybe you didn't even know it. You had it and you recovered. Or maybe you did have a mild flu-like illness and that was your COVID and you recovered. And so to know who those people are would be absolutely, it'd be a game changer, because then those people could go out and rejoin the community. They could do their economic activities. They could help as healthcare workers. That would be terrific to know. There are also therapeutic implications of that. What if you gave another person the serum of someone who had recovered? You could help in actually treating this thing. So that is exceptionally relevant research. It does show a lot of promise. It's one of the things that I do kind of follow most every day. How are those researchers doing? We need to support them. They're doing really, really important work that we could use in the future.
And that would probably tell us that when we see these counts every day and how many cases there are, that is probably not realistic. There's probably way more, since, as you said, there could be people that have had it that didn't even know it.
I think the numbers are way low. All we're reporting is who we're testing, and we're testing a really small subset of Minnesota. We're testing just a small number of people. And of those, our numbers of positives are doubling every four or five or six days in Minnesota. And so if we're getting that many of the group that we're testing now, it's probably 10 times that many, because we're simply not testing people who are mildly sick or don't have symptoms at all. And you are likely to spread this thing for a day or so prior to getting any symptoms anyway. So that's why social distancing is so important. If you don't have any symptoms whatsoever, but tomorrow you're going to get symptoms, well, today you're spreading the virus even before you knew it. And so the numbers that are coming out as positive from our labs are all well low of what it probably is. We're guessing maybe 10 times as many. So if Minnesota has 700 positive cases, it's probably 7,000. We don't know that for sure. We're using modeling estimates. Any doctor who tells you he knows for sure or she knows for sure isn't being forthright with you. We don't know for sure, but it's likely 10 times as many as we're reporting out now.
You know, Dr. Hilden, I just speaking of metrics and that sort of thing, Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington is predicting in their model that Minnesota won't be as severe as officials feared. And so there's several models out there. I suppose it's hard to know which one is going to predict this correct, because they all don't seem to be the same.
You're right. They're not, Dave. IHME, what you're saying, predicts something like late April, in a few weeks from now, would be our peak. The one that the several others are predicting more like May. A lot of it's, what are you identifying as the peak? Is it the peak number of hospitalizations? That would come sooner than the peak number of deaths, which would happen 2 or 3 weeks later. Or is it the peak number of cases that are reported as positive? It all depends on what you're trying to measure. It also looks, it doesn't look really in depth at the social distancing measures. Those work. Putting the physical distancing measures in place, every week you do that probably saves thousands of lives. And so it all depends on how well we do that. when I was running around Lake Harriet and I saw some people playing basketball at the park, that is actually unsafe. It's just a not safe activity. And our models can't predict how many people are out playing basketball. So the better we can, as an example, the better we follow our physical distancing, the better the models will be. And that's all they are. They're predictive models. We don't know what it will actually be. I am cautiously optimistic that Minnesota won't be as rough as, say, New York. I think we're doing a good job here. I wish we were even doing more physical distancing. I mean, just really putting the hammer down, if you will, and we could save even more lives by doing so. But that's what the models are. They're predictions. They're our best educated knowledge that we have. And so far, we're looking at a late April to somewhere around June 1st. That's what most of the models are. The month of May probably is when our peak will hit.
Well, great to hear your positive attitude, Dave, as we try to deal with this in many ways, as you said, secretly with that anxiety behind the scenes. That's a big concern. But your time is well-deserved here on WC Show. I appreciate that. We'll hear you Sunday morning on CCO, and stay healthy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.